Macabre misfortune.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 89 of Macabre Misfortunes. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Tracy.
Tracy, we've had the privilege of seeing several air shows through the years, especially at Thunder Over Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
Well, luckily, we've always had a great experience as far as nothing happening. Major happening, right. You know. Well, today's topic is about an air show in Germany that was an absolute horrible tragedy.
Aww.
So here's your heads up. So let's go to West Germany, August 28th, 1988. The celebration Flugtag. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. That's German for flight day. Now, this was a perfect day. Great conditions for the aviators. Well, the event took place at the Ramstein Air Force Base, which is an American U.S. Air Force base. This is an event that they had held there annually since all the way back in the 1950s. This was 1988, so it had been going on for 30-some years. The event attracted several thousand German and American spectators. They were all excited to see the aerial acrobatics.
Those are fun to watch.
They are. The event would bring in pilots from the U.S. and all across Europe. One of the flight teams was the Italian Air Force display team. So that would be like equivalent to the Blue Angels here in the United States. 300,000 spectators gathered to watch the show. Now, the highlight of the show was the Pierce the Heart formation by the Italian group.
What's that?
Well, it's a complex maneuver. And it involves 10 different planes. They would create smoke trails, which were the colors of the Italian flag.
That's cool.
In the maneuver, 5 planes would veer to the right, and 4 would veer to the left. Now, those would go on to make the shape of a heart, so to speak. Then you would have one last plane that would ascend a little bit further, and as the planes would intersect in the middle, you would have the other one would come through and basically go right down the middle and pierce the heart.
Oh, wow.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's kind of the plan, was having that one extra plane to nosedive. That particular pilot with the task that day was the lead pilot of the Italian group. His name was Ivo Neutrelli. His plane was called Pony 10. Remember, there was 10 planes.
Mm-hmm.
So each one was Pony 1 through 10. He was in Pony 10. They had executed this trick over 70 times before. As you can imagine, this trick required extreme coordination and perfect timing. At approximately 3:40 p.m., the 10 planes took off. At 3:44, Ivo Neutrelli split from the group and he ascended as the other two groups veered off to the left and to the right as they were supposed to. But for some reason, Ivo's aircraft climbed way too high and it reached an altitude that he didn't intend to reach. As you can imagine, this threw off the rest of the maneuver from the timing aspect. Ivo was descended to pierce the heart, and he realized that he was going way too fast. So he activated something that's called a mounted air brake. I don't know how that works.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's some type of something that just slows it down by maybe, you know, like parachutes do or something like that. But anyway, he mounted it. Unfortunately, it was too late. Ivo was unable to correct his altitude or reduce his speed. As the planes dove towards each other at 350 miles an hour, to complete the formation, Evo came in too low and too fast, causing a catastrophic collision. All this is on video, by the way. You can look at
it. Oh, my gosh.
His plane, Pony 10, collided with the tail section of Pony 1. Now, the tail section of Pony 1 disintegrated on impact. Pony 1 spiraled out of control and crashed into the cockpit of Pony 2. All three planes plummeted towards the ground, and it was only 50 yards above the ground at this time.
Oh, my Lord.
So they're right there at the crowd.
Oh, no.
Now, Vini, who was piloting Pony 1, he tried to eject from the plane, but his parachute did not employ in time. His plane crashed on the runway, and spectators watched as the plane ripped into a taxi and a medevac helicopter that was sitting on the runway. The pilot of the helicopter, Captain Ken Strader, was killed on impact.
Aww.
Pony 2 crashed on the left side of the runway, killing pilot and Captain Alessio on impact. Now, Evo's plane, it was unstoppable as it continued on its course straight for the crowd. Spectators had less than 10 seconds to react. The plane hit the ground and it exploded just 160 feet from the crowd. It plowed into a police car and through a fence and then collided with spectators.
Oh, Lord.
The impact killed 31 people instantly. The plane's 300 gallons of jet fuel ignited. This caused a massive explosive fireball of red hot metal, and of course the flames. Spectators, who moments before were enjoying the show, were now being burnt beyond recognition by liquid metal and scorching flames. So those near the actual impact suffered unimaginable injuries. Ambulances arrived at the scene, but they actually had trouble gaining access to the airfield. German doctors that were on site tended to those on the ground, and helicopters were flying in and airlifting people out as quick as they possibly could to nearest hospitals. In the coming weeks, the death toll would eventually reach 70 people as victims succumbed to their massive injuries. More than 500 people were seriously injured and required skin grafts and psychological help to overcome the trauma of that day.
This makes me want to cry. This is horrible.
After the tragedy, Germany imposed a ban on any type of air shows. And when they did, it was a 3-year ban, by the way. So a 3-year ban, and then to give them a chance to reevaluate how things were done. And when it did resume, they had way stricter safety measures in the case.
Okay, this is a stupid question. Was his name Ezra, Israel, or
Evo?
Evo, and Evo. He died on impact, right?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Ugh.
Some of the new safety measures had the planes, they couldn't do any maneuvers that went towards the ground. So that was one of the things they did. And it had to have a minimum distance of 1,000 feet from the crowd where they were doing.
It's just so many terrible things, like racetrack drivers, you know, cars fly up into the stands, and it's just awful.
It's funny you say that, because the story that I almost did was about a Formula One race that'll probably end up being next week's story.
That's unbelievable. And honestly, I'm surprised more people did not die.
You're probably right, because, I mean, when you hear that, I mean, you had three planes, one of them went into the crowd, but all three of them could have went into the crowd. But just the 500 people that were injured I mean, think about that. You're standing there and you just think about like a volcano erupting and the lava going everywhere. That's kind of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
This, with that explosion, it melted the metal and then showered it on people.
I don't even know what to say. That's just the most terrible thing I've ever heard. That is not a word, but.
Well, in fairness, we've probably done worse stories than this one, so it can't be the most terrible.
I know. It's just the thought that, you know, in a split second, I mean, it's not the worst story I've ever heard, but and it's just like in a split second, everything's changed. Everything. And just, it's just unimaginable.
Well, and this is another thing that people probably, they're thinking about the victims themselves, but I mean, you've got a close-knit group of guys in that Air Force. I mean, mm-hmm. there's 10 of these pilots that have done these things over and over and over again, and all of a sudden, 3 of the 10 are gone, you know, in a snap.
So the rest of them did not die?
No. There was only 3 planes involved in the crash, but all 3 of those died.
Of course, they saw their brothers, you know, crash and
I mean, it's like I said, you got 10 close-knit guys.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, 3 of the 10 are just gone. Mm-hmm. How do you even go back and perform again?
Yeah.
I'd be scared to death.
Oh, I would be too.
I don't know how they, I don't know how these procedures are so complex. How do you even practice those things? How do you start? Mm-hmm. I mean.
Yeah, you don't, that's a good question.
It's like, it just seems like you're bound to screw up a lot when you first start doing it.
Yeah, because you're not going to do it right the first time, right. For sure.
So, I mean, how do they do that without there being, because, I mean, obviously, they probably start off farther away and they probably do the maneuver separately, mm-hmm. and then they probably integrate it in.
But yeah.
I would be interested to learn how you start doing something like that.
Right. I mean, they're very, very talented that they can pull that off, but mm-hmm. unfortunately, it just doesn't work out.
But. Yeah, it's a horrible story, and unfortunately, my job on Saturdays is to bring you horrible stories.
Great.
But I try to at least find ones that most people aren't familiar with.
Mm-hmm. Now, I hadn't heard of that one.
That's not a big shock.
Well, that's true.
All right, guys, we love you. We'll talk to you soon.
Love you guys.